The Gospel according to Matthew. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had ordered them. When they saw him, they worshipped, but they doubted. Then Jesus approached and said to them, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always until the end of the age." The Gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Good morning, everyone. The Gospel gives us the last words of Jesus, according to the Gospel of Matthew, and then Acts of the Apostles, written by Luke, gives us the account of what happened at that ascension into heaven. And he goes directly from their sight. And they're still thinking, are you going to reestablish the kingdom of Israel and everything like that? And so they're not really connecting the dots at that moment. And so it's all about preparing for the Holy Spirit, which is the second reading. It's very anticipatory. It's like, get ready. This is a reading that will lend itself to a movement of the Spirit. So that's why Paul begins Ephesians in 1:17, "May the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation resulting in knowledge of him." Because that's what it's about. It's about knowing Jesus Christ. That's a question I ask classes when I'm teaching, or maybe young people who are preparing for confirmation, or maybe I visit the school. I'm like, what's the purpose of the church? And like, so it's like, learn about God, know God, something with God in the sentence. And then I will say, the purpose is to know Jesus. That's the purpose, to know Jesus Christ. And the power of the Spirit makes this possible. But then I think to myself sometimes, like, try to wrap my mind around, why does Jesus ascend? Why does he leave us? He leaves us because he had entered into our limitedness with the love that does not have limits. He conquered our corruption and darkness with his death and resurrection, and with the ascension, we can understand that Christ no longer belongs to the world of corruption and death, which he has conquered. So he cannot allow himself to be subjected to the corruption and death of the world. Because that's what he did. He entered into our darkness. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not understand it. And Jesus conquers that darkness, and he returns to the Father. And that corruption and death, sadly, even though we're baptized and we want to pray, conditions our life. It just conditions us. You know, there's the sickness, there's the everything that goes on, and the flowers, they blossom if you water them, right? And then you have pollen. Well, I don't want the pollen, I just want to look at the pretty flower. Whatever it is coming from the panhandle of Oklahoma that has settled in my lungs right now. So there's always something going on, and so all these things are happening, you know, and we are subjected to the corruption and death of the world. But greater is he that is in us than he who is in the world, that corruption and death. And Jesus then is going to give them life because the Holy Spirit is to descend upon them. That is why we do not look for answers in the imperfectible world. We seek that which is above, where Christ is gone, to sit at the right hand of the Father. Now I know in the Acts of the Apostles it says they're all there, they're looking, you know, looking at Jesus, then they're like that, they're looking up there in the sky, and you can imagine catching flies with their mouth, you know, like there it's all happening. Because he said, "I must go back to the Father," and they're like, "Sure, whatever that means. Are we eating tonight?" Because, you know, they're not understanding. And so then God has got to send two messengers clad in white, and there they are like, "Hey, stop looking at the sky," which means get busy, get praying, get ready, because he's going to bring it to you, this power of the Holy Spirit. So we read from St. Paul in 2 Corinthians, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, which is good, because St. John writes, you know, what we have seen, what we've heard, what we've touched, what we've come to know, Jesus, the incarnation. We regard him like this no longer. Not that the incarnation stops, it continues on. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. At the resurrection, according to the Gospel of John, Mary Magdalene sees Jesus. She doesn't know it's Jesus, and she thinks it's like the gardener or something. And so Jesus looks at her and says, Mary, and she turns and goes, Rabbi. And then she throws herself at his feet and grabs hold of his feet or legs. Here you are. I saw you crucified. I was at the foot of the cross. And there he is. And he says what? No le me tangere. Do not touch me. Right? Don't touch me because I have not yet ascended to the Father. Which means for John, all he's saying is things change with the resurrection. He's going to return to the Father. And it has happened. He returns to the Father. So the old manner of human companionship and encounter is over. Whether it's with Mary Magdalene, all the other women, all the other disciples, and the 11. From now on, we can touch him only by ascending. And it's not just a thought process. I'm going to think hard about this. It's really not what it is. Because Jesus is with the Father. He has not gone away, but remains close to us. Now, he is no longer in one place in the world, limited by time and space, as he had been before the ascension. Now, through his power over space and time, he is present and accessible to all throughout history and in every place. So Jesus receives all that authority, and he gives it to the apostles. That's what we heard in Matthew. All authority has been given unto me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. They'll receive this power at Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit will empower the apostles to bear witness to the fact that Jesus is alive. That he is life itself. In him we live and move and have our being. So the apostles have a new sense of closeness with Jesus that becomes a source of lasting joy that will be fulfilled in the Holy Spirit. And we have this joy as well. Through baptism, our life has already been hidden with Christ in God, or protected in Christ through God. The life, that's the joy, that's the hope. We don't want to put our joy or hope in the passing things of this world, the passing pleasures, the passing ideas, the passing air conditioning that doesn't always work, the passing senators and governors and elected people and presidents, and, you know, and then maybe next time. But you don't put your hope and joy in that. You put your hope and joy in the risen Lord, who is with us in the power of the Spirit, which he gives to those apostles to make him present, which we have in the sacraments. And so he also goes to prepare a place for us, and we are made to be with him, not just now walking around the earth, we're made to be with him in heaven. Next Saturday is the day of death for Father Capon, Father Emil Capon, Father Emil Capon, who dies in 1951 in the prisoner of war camp, May 23rd. It's also the day for the ordinations this year. So 6 men will be ordained to the priesthood on that day. It'll be an extra little blessing for them to be ordained on the day that Father Capon dies. And Father Capon, who was in that prisoner of war camp, he was never able to offer up the holy sacrifice of the Mass ever. Never able to do that. He couldn't offer the Mass. All he could do was offer himself. And that is what he did. And they wanted him to die, his communist captors. They wanted him to go away. And he's there, and he's ministering to as many men as possible. And in the end, they had to take care of him because he couldn't get out. He couldn't even get out off the ground. A terrible sickness and disease and affliction that comes from severe malnutrition and just the elements that attack their bodies and their lives. But he was on that litter, and they're taking him away. And the soldiers made sure they were going to get him away from the other men and they're going to put him in that hospital, which was not a hospital and everybody knew it. It's just a place to go die. And Father Capon, he raised his hand, gave a blessing, and he says, "Don't worry about me. I'm going where I always wanted to go. And when I get there, I'll say a prayer for you." We united with the saints who walked in the Spirit, the chosen ones with us right now, and Father Capon shows us that. So as we heard in Luke, the angel tells those apostles, stop looking at the sky, stop gazing up there, and get ready to be witnesses of Christ to the whole world. And we can do that. Just like Father Capon, we are a new creation in Christ, and we live by the Spirit, and we are sustained in his Eucharistic presence and live that with each other in this body of Christ that has received the Spirit and the sacraments and has this source of joy and hope that the world does not offer. And we must cling to that and let that be our strength.